Welcome to Mishnah Yomi. This is Shlomo Schwartz, and today we begin a new Masechta, Masechta Pesachim. Just by way of introduction, the Masechta that we are in is in Seder Moed, following Masechta Shabbos and Erevin. And in terms of the order, the Rambam, in his introduction to the Seder Mishnayis, explains that being that Pesachim was the first in the order of the Moadim given to us in the Parshas of Moadim, immediately following Shabbos. And it is also something that was given to us in Mitzrayim. Therefore, it is mentioned first in the order of the Moadim, immediately following Shabbos. Now, in terms of why the Masechta is called Pesachim, in the plural, there are a couple of explanations I've seen given. One is, interestingly, the Meiri explains that at the time of the Geonim, which was during the 6th to 8th century era, around that time, the Masechta was actually studied in two sections. There was one section that dealt with the halachas of chametz, matzah, and the laws and customs of the Seder night, and another section that dealt with the sacrificial offerings of the Korban Pesach. And since it was studied in two sections, it got the name Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni. It got the name Pesachim, which is plural, referring to both sections of the Masechta. Additionally, there are some who suggest that because there is Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni, in that if a person does not bring his korban on Pesach itself, he has tashlumin, he has the ability to bring it on Pesach Sheni. That's another reason why the Masechta is called Masechta Pesachim. So that gives us a little bit of a flavor as to the positioning of the Masechta and the name of the Masechta. In terms of just a general overview of what the Masechta deals with, as we mentioned, the Masechta deals with the halachas of chametz and matzah. It also deals with the Korban Pesach and deals with the customs, laws and customs of the Seder night. In terms of chametz, and that's really what the Masechta is going to start with, being that the halachos relating to chametz begin already before Pesach, because we have to get rid of the chametz before Pesach, and that's why the Masechta starts with the Bedikah. There are a number of different isurim relating to chametz. Number one, chametz on Pesach, and even on Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, is... or earlier, actually, after Chatzos, is Aser Be'achila. You're not allowed to eat chametz. In addition, chametz is also Aser Be'hanoah. You're not allowed to benefit or have pleasure from it. And thirdly, there's a strict lav of Lo Yeroh L'cho chametz, that you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. So unlike many of the other Isurim, where you're just simply not allowed to eat it, or maybe not have enough from it, chametz is very, very strict. As a result, the Chachamim, because it is strict in that you're not allowed to have chametz in your house, and also because chametz is an Isur, unlike other Isurim, where it's not Usur all the time. Chametz is only Usur during the period of Pesach, whereas the rest of the year, both before and after Pesach, it's Mutter. So the term used in Chazal is Lo Bedila In Shemineh. People are not separated from the chametz. They're in the habit of eating chametz. And therefore, the chachamim were very, very strict and required that all remnants of chametz be eradicated from the house, and a bedika needs to be done. It's actually based on a mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah says, Tashbisu Sa'or Mibetechem, that you should get rid of all the sa'or from your house. The mitzvah of Tashbisu is a machlokas, exactly how your Mekayim Tashbisu. We're not going to get into that. I'm just giving a general overview as to the beginning of the Masechta and the Isur of Chametz. So let's begin. First Mishnah, Orlar Ba'asar, the evening of the 14th, meaning the evening before the 14th day of Nisan, Botkin es HaChametz, you search for the Chametz La'or HaNer, to the light of a candle. Now, the bedika that is done is midrabanan. Minatora, if a person does bitul, which is to nullify any chametz in his possession, which is what we do actually before the bedikah and also after the bir chametz, then that is enough, because if the chametz in your possession is not yours, you're not over on la yira v'la yimatza. However, the chachamim were misakin a bedikah, and there are two reasons given in the Rishonim. Rashi says the reason is that you should not be over bal yiroa bal yimatza, so that if you were to find a piece of chametz on Pesach, even if you nullified it before Pesach, but you may find a good juicy piece of chametz, and it may appeal to you on Pesach, and it may entice you, and you may for that moment decide that you want to have this piece of chametz in your house for whatever reason, you want to hold on to it, so that will eradicate the effect of your bittul, because since bittul is something that is based on your thoughts of your heart, you can change that, and by doing that, you would be over on bal yiroa bal yimatza on Pesach. That is the concern according to Rashi, and that's why the chachamim were misakin that you should search for the chametz and get rid of it, so you don't have that issue on Pesach. Tosfos, on the other hand, disagrees with Rashi and holds that the reason for bedika is that you shouldn't have it in the house, not because you shouldn't be over on bal yiroa bal yimatza, but so that you shouldn't come to eat it on Pesach. For whatever reason, whether you learn with Rashi or Tosfos, the chachamim were misakin bedikas chametz, and they were misakin it the evening of the 14th. Why the evening? So the Gemara explains that that was a practical time, because most people are home in the evening after a day's work. They're home, so they're available to do the bedika. And number two, there is an inyan of doing the bedika in front of a candlelight, and because a candle shines clearer during the nighttime in the dark than it would during the day, it doesn't have much of an impact during the day. So the chachamim were misakin for those two reasons that the bedikah be done at night, the night before, the night of the 14th. Nevertheless, even though the second reason of the light shining brighter during the dark would seem to indicate that if you did not do a bedikah at night and you did it the next morning, the day of the 14th, that you would not need a candle, the chachamim were misakin the bedikah that it should be done with a candle, regardless of whether you're doing it at night or during the day. Going back to the Mishnah, so the evening of the 14th, we do the bedikah, we search for chametz to the light of a candle. One more point of observation, the Mishnah starts off referring to the evening of the 14th with the word or, rather than leil, or erev, referring to the evening. And some of the commentaries explain that because we are beginning a Masechta, the Masechta wanted to start off with a positive term rather than use darkness. The Mishnah used a Lashon of Or to begin the Masechta with a positive term. Kol makom she'en machnisin chometz. The Mishnah tells you a rule in terms of wanting to determine where you need to search for chametz, where you don't need to search for chametz. Says the Mishnah, any place where you do not generally bring chametz, ein tzarech bedika. You are not required to search for chametz in such places. So the Mishnah therefore asks the question. We know that there is a machlokes beshamay besilal, that if someone has a wine cellar, there's a machlokes as to which barrels of wine, how far into the cellar does one have to search for chametz. And if we're saying now that places that you do not take chametz into, you do not need to do a bedika, why would there be machlokas regarding a wine cellar, which people do not bring chametz into? Says the Mishnah, V'lama amru, and why did we say, shtei shuros b'martef, two rows in a cellar, that there's a machlokas b'sham and b'shilal, how far in height and width and length do you have to search the barrels in the cellar? Says the Mishnah, Makom Shemachnisim Bo Chametz. We're talking about a cellar where occasionally chametz is brought into the cellar. For example, if you're sitting at the meal and you run out of wine, or you want to bring a variety, a selection of wine, and you send somebody down to the cellar and the person has some bread or some food in his hands, and that causes crumbs or food to be left in the cellar. That is the type of cellar we're referring to. But in Achinami, if in fact we're dealing with a cellar where you do not take chametz into, you would not have to do a bedikas chametz. In regard to the cellar, there's a machlokus, as I mentioned, Beshama Omer, Beshama says, Shtei Shuras Apnei Kol Hamartif. Beshama is machmir as to how far you need to inspect, and he says it's two rows across the entire width and breadth of the cellar. Ubesila Omer, Besila says, Shtei Shuras Achitzonos, Shein Elyonos. He says it's the two rows, only the two rows that are in the front, towards the top that face the ceiling. There's a machlokus in the Gemara exactly what Beishamai means and Beishilo means, but for the purposes of understanding the Mishnah, suffice it to say that they argue over how far in you have to inspect the cellar, and the main point of the Mishnah is to tell you that only cellars in which you occasionally you may bring in chametz are you obligated to inspect, otherwise you would not have to inspect it. That ends Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Beis. Says the Mishnah, how far do you need to be concerned with regard to inspecting? If you have a house with many rooms, or if you have a number of houses, you start in one room, do you need to be concerned that after you complete the inspection of one of the rooms, that a mole or a weasel or some kind of an animal that was common during that time might actually drag a piece of bread from a room or an area that was not inspected into a room that you already inspected? So how far do we need to be concerned? Says the Mishnah, Ein Choshishin, you do not need to be concerned. Shema, maybe Gerera Chulda, a Chulda, a weasel or a mole, dragged a piece of chametz, Mibayis Labayis, from a house to a house, or from a place to a place, even within a house. Dim kain, because if you're going to have to suspect that far, mechotzer lechotzer, then you would need to suspect from a yard to another yard, umeir leir, and from a city to another city, being that people do not inspect the chametz at the same exact time. So if your neighbor happens to inspect it after you or before you, and the timing is not exactly right, and you have to suspect that an animal like a mole or a weasel would drag chametz from one place to another, then there would be no end to our suspicion, and there'd be no end to how much or how many times we'd have to inspect the homes. And therefore, it's not practical and not possible to satisfy this type of a concern, and it's a far-fetched concern, and therefore the Mishnah says, you do not have to be choshesh for it. You don't have to suspect for such a thing, because im kein mechotzer lechotzer meir leir, that you would have to be suspicious that it may go from yard to yard or from city to city, and in that case ein ladover sof, there would be no end to how many times you would have to do the bedika. This is the end of our first two mishnayos. We look forward to continuing with you. Mishnah Gimel. Thank you.